For our reading this afternoon, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke. Read from chapter number 8, and begin with verse number 41. Luke chapter 8, verse number 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come unto his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." And when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John, and the father and mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. There's a proverb that says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." A proverb that I believe we are all familiar with, and it's probably one of the most common proverb that we would hear. But it's a truth that we can see that throughout scriptures, that when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, that he will provide. As Brother Andrew referenced to the name of God, Jehovah Jireh, as one who provides. He will provide. But ours is to trust in him with all of our heart and to lean upon him, for he will provide. He will provide in a marvelous way. He will provide in a way that goes beyond what man would think would be right or appropriate or the proper way for things to happen. But God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and he loves us. He's not only an all-powerful God, but he is a good God, a God who loves us and who will provide for us. So this afternoon we read a portion of scripture of there were two that needed to trust in the Lord with all of their heart and not to lean upon their own understanding and in all their ways to acknowledge him, and that he would then direct their paths. And so Jesus was on a path, and he was making his way, and there's this multitude that is gathered together. He says, "Behold, there came a man from Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come to his house." So there was a group here, and they're making their way, and they're traveling together with Jesus. And so there's this one, Jairus, and he's coming, and he's a ruler of the synagogue, and Nicodemus was also a ruler of the Jews, and he also came to Jesus as well. But Jairus comes to Jesus, and he really is imploring Jesus for help. And so much so that he comes and he kneels before Jesus. He falls down at his feet, and he beseeches him, "Come to my house, come to my house." He says, "For I have one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying, but as he went, the people thronged him." He had one only daughter, and she's 12 years old at a beautiful age, and certainly this was a great treasure in his life to have this one daughter, not multiple children, but just this one daughter, and being of 12 years of age, and he having such a great appreciation for her, he felt that those in the synagogue or those in the temple may not appreciate what he's doing, going to Jesus asking for help, but it didn't matter to him. It didn't matter to him. He was going to trust in the Lord with all of his heart. And he came before the Lord, and he falls, and he's before him at his feet. And he's asking Jesus, "Come to my house. I have only one daughter. She's 12 years of age, and she's dying. She's laying there, and she's dying. Can you come quickly to my house?" And it says, but as he went, the people thronged him. So like most all things in life, there's always a challenge. There's always something there to kind of block the way from everything just rolling ahead smoothly. And it says that the people were there. They thronged him. They were all about him. And perhaps the procession going over to Jairus' house was moving slowly in Jairus' eyes. And then something happens. During this time, a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. So if we consider these two, this woman that had this sickness at where her blood wouldn't clot up and it would continuously bleed, And she has this issue for 12 years, and then there's Jairus with his one and only daughter that's 12 years of age. So for the past 12 years, these two have had different lives. For the woman, it was a difficult life. She had a health issue, and even though she spent all of her living, all of her money on doctors to be healed of this issue that she had, she couldn't be healed, and she had to deal with it. She had to deal with it continuously. But here's Jairus having one only daughter and her being a great blessing to him and his wife and to them and as they're growing, as she's growing up and the joy that they had with her. Two coming from different environments of life. She then comes behind Jesus and touches simply the border of his garment, and it says, and immediately her issue of blood had stanched. The flow of blood had stopped. It clotted at this time now finally. And Jesus perceives that virtue goes out of him, and so he says, "Who touched me?" And when you can just simply imagine the crowd was thronging him. They're all trying to jostle into position to get a closer to position to be able to touch Christ, and they want to be with him, and this crowd is moving along slowly, and they're all touching him, and they're all bumping up against him and one another, and Jesus stops the crowd, and then he says, "Who touched me?" And you can just imagine that everything fell silent, and nobody wants to say that they were touching him. Everyone's denying, well, I wasn't touching you. And so Peter says, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and you're asking, who touched me?" But Jesus wasn't looking at it in that simple physical aspect, because somebody reached out and touched in faith. There was a spiritual aspect to the touch that he felt. And so Jesus responds to Peter by saying, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." He perceived that the power of God went forth from himself and had healed somebody. And yet, certainly, he being the Son of God, had known who touched him and what her issue was and knew all the knew everything about that. But yet he asked the question. And it says, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. This woman stepped out, and again, trusting in the Lord with all of her heart, not leaning to her own understanding, and in all her ways acknowledging the Lord. So she comes, and she's trembling, and just as Jairus did, this woman did the same thing. Jairus came and fell at Jesus' feet, and it says here also that she, falling down before him, did the same thing. She came before the Lord in such a manner, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Here's this throng. Everybody's there, and they're witness to what just happened. And here's this woman conveying to the Lord, this is what just happened. I reached out and touched the hem of your garment, and I was healed. She declares that to him, and it's before all the people that she did that. And again, that's such a powerful witness and a testimony when one can speak of a great thing that the Lord has done in their life. The Lord worked in that. The Lord blessed me. I trusted in him. And the Lord worked this great thing in my life. And she had witnessed and testified of that, just as the apostles did throughout, as it's recorded here in the Acts of the Apostles. They witnessed and they testified of the things which they had witnessed and of the things that they had heard. And same with this woman, that she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how that she was healed immediately. She could sense in that moment immediately that her health issue was healed. It was healed. She knew it immediately. It was evident. And so he has these beautiful, comforting words to her. He says, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." This is our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to save. He came to that we might have life. He came as a light into this world. And that gave her great comfort. And he gave that. He imputed that comfort to her. He says, "Be of good comfort." And he says here, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." A faith. A living faith. An abiding faith. She trusted in the Lord that this would do in touching the border of the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. She had that faith, and that faith was manifested, and she was made whole of that disease that she had. I don't remember with who I was having a discussion, but we were discussing of the clothing of Jesus Christ, and one I was speaking with said that, you know, the Roman soldiers, they came in possession of Jesus' garments after he was crucified. They were auctioning among themselves who would be the highest bidder to get Jesus' clothes. But when they became in possession of his clothing, it didn't do anything for them. Them having the possession of Jesus' clothing didn't do anything for them. But here's a woman that reached out in faith. In faith, she reached out. And as she reached out in faith, she was rewarded for that faith. And she was healed immediately. And she was made whole, as Jesus says here. And then he tells her those beautiful words, "Go in peace, go in peace." This is our Savior, merciful, loving Savior. And he desires that we would have faith in him, that we would trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and that we would not lean to our own understanding, but that we would trust in him in all things. And then when he sees that we're trusting in him, we've laid all things before him, we're not going to say, "Well, I want to reserve this so that I can control this aspect of my life." But when we lay it all out before him and we are trusting fully in him, He rewards us for that faith that we have in him. And he gives unto us his peace. He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good comfort, I have overcome the world. In Jesus Christ, we can have peace. In Jesus Christ alone, we can have peace. And he's calling to us, come in faith. Come in faith. Believe. Believe. That when you believe and trust in the Lord with all of your heart, that you will have this peace. This peace in your heart and a joy that no man can take away. This is our Lord. This is who we serve. So the multitude is thronging Jesus. They're heading towards Jairus' house. And Jesus stops the procession. It was going slow, but he even stops it. And he says, who touched me? And this whole dialogue is going on. And the woman is testifying of how she was healed immediately because she believed as she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus is responding to her. And you can simply just imagine that Jairus is having his interest and he's thinking, let's go. My daughter is dying on the bed. And he wanted things to move along quickly. And then it says here that while Jesus was yet speaking, there comes one from Jairus' house, the ruler of the synagogue, saying unto him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. It's an expression that it's news that you that was heard that just dissolves all hope. There's no hope. And there's often times in our lives when we do hear news and we think that all is lost. All is lost. There's no hope. But Jesus, when he heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Jesus is telling Jairus, be as this woman who suffered for 12 years having this issue of blood, and she believed that if she would just touch the border of my garment, she would be made whole, and you saw that she was made whole. Be faith, be full of faith. And he's saying, fear not, don't fear, but believe only. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. The Lord is calling us to faith. We read this morning in John 1 about that he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. When we believe on Jesus Christ, then we have the power. The power is imputed unto us that we can become the sons and the daughters of the living God. This is what makes us to be sons and daughters of the living God, is our faith in him. One asked the Lord Jesus Christ, what might we do that we might work the works of God? And the response was that this is the work of God, that you would believe on him whom he hath sent. He is calling us to trust. He is calling us to have faith. He is calling us to believe with all of our heart. With all of our heart. Believe in him. Jesus said to one man, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We are being called to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not to lean onto our own understanding. Jesus says, if we can simply believe, if we can believe that all things are possible to him that believeth. And these are the words of the Lord. And we believe them to be true. We believe them to be true. All things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus says in another place, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. This isn't the words of a rabbi. This isn't the words of a philosopher. These are the words of the living Son of God, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The one to whom all power belongs in heaven and in earth. He speaks forth these words that when whatsoever things we desire, that when we pray, that we should believe, that we should receive them. And he says, and ye shall have them. Ye shall have them. And so Jesus is telling Jairus, fear not, believe only. Believe only, come to that saving faith that you can be called a child of God and to know that he is there and that he will provide. In Isaiah, the Lord speaks through the prophet to the people, and he speaks to Israel and to Jacob, but we can say that this would apply to the church and that this would apply to us individually. In Isaiah chapter 43, it's written, "But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, O church of God, O body of Christ, O believer, this is what the Lord says. And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name, thou art mine." We heard this morning about names, how our names are not important. But here, God is saying, I have called thee by my name, by the name of God. The greatest title that we can have on this earth are the son, to be a son of God or a daughter of God. This is the greatest title that we can have. He calls us by his name, and he says, thou art mine. The woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, she was Christ. She was God's. Jairus' daughter was God's. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. This is who we serve. This is who we serve. This is the living God. Omnipotent. He can do all things. But he's saying, trust in me. Trust in me with all of your heart. Fear not. Believe only. Believe only. It's a message we need to hear, and that a message that we need to remember. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear not, believe only. So the throng makes its way to the house, but he suffers no man. He allows no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. So just five others that are coming in with Jesus into the house of Jairus. And it says that when they get in the house, that all wept and bewailed her. But he says, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. He tells the people there. They were, in a way, mourning. They were weeping. But we see in the next verse, they're scorning. And they laughed at him. So you certainly have to wonder whether their tears were sincere or not as they wept and they bewailed Jairus' daughter. He says to them, and the Lord, again, as he gave comfort, as he gave peace to this woman of the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, as he gave her comfort and said, go in peace, he's telling these people likewise, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead, knowing in the sense of what they knew. They didn't know that they were dealing with he who is life. He who is life and is calling us to have life anew in us, as we heard this morning again. Their knowledge was limited. Jesus knew her state. Jesus knew his power. Jesus knew that he could give her life. Jesus knew that he could do these things, that all power belonged unto him in heaven and in earth. Jesus knew these things. They didn't know these things. But they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead, as they knew. Not in faith, but they leaned upon their own understanding and not upon the understanding of God. So he puts them all out. He puts them all out. And then we have to consider that this is what separates us from God, is when we lack faith, when we don't believe in him. When we aren't fully 100% yielded to him and fully just simply trusting in Jesus, we are separated. The children of Israel could not enter the promised land because of their lack of faith. That's what prevented them from coming into the land of Israel. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19, it says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. They had come to the point where they didn't believe God. Yes, they saw the pillar of fire. Yes, they saw the smoke. Yes, they saw the Red Sea parted. They saw all these things. They didn't have faith. They didn't believe. And because they didn't believe, they were not permitted to enter into the promised land. And so just as these people who laughed Jesus to scorn because he said, she's not dead, she's simply sleeping. You will see that shortly, that she was just simply sleeping. And so that's what separates us from God, is our lack of faith. Is our lack of faith. We don't want to fully believe. We don't want to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. So he takes the maid by her hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." Two simple words, at least as it is here in the English language. Not sure how many words it would be in Greek or Hebrew, whatever it was. But two words here. Not a lot of formality to it, but simply the power of God. The power of God. And he calls to her and he says, "Maid, arise. Maid, arise." And her spirit came again. He who is the giver of life gave life. Again, going back to this morning, how Brother Aiden was speaking of new life, light coming in and new life springing forth. The dormancy of winter is over and life is springing forth in springtime. And it says that her spirit came again. She was raised to life again, and she arose straightway. Just as that woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, she was healed immediately. Immediately. It didn't take a week or two for things to start drying out, but no, she was healed immediately. And again, here it says that she arose straightway. Immediately, this 12-year-old girl, from being in a dead state for however long it was from the time that the man came from Jairus' house and told Jesus, "Trouble not the master, she's dead." From that time frame, her spirit now comes to her immediately, and it says, "And he commanded to give her meat." And it says, "And her parents were astonished." Her parents were astonished. Truly grateful. Truly joyful. Because their 12-year-old daughter had been sick, and she had come to the point where her spirit left her. Her spirit had left her. And now they see Jesus, by just simply two words, having the spirit come back into her, and that she rises immediately. And they can just see all her mannerisms, all her personality and her character, it all just became manifest immediately once again. And they were astonished. Often it may be that we pray to the Lord and we ask him for something. We ask him for something in our lives that's meaningful to us. And we believe, Lord, we know that thou canst do this. We know that thou canst do that. And we say, "Nevertheless, let thy will be done." But then when we see the Lord work in a way and answer our prayers, even above what we were thinking would be a good enough answer to our prayers, that we see the Lord has done a wonderful thing, that we also have to have this same reaction as the parents had, that we're astonished. We have to be astonished at the working of the Lord and his goodness and his great, great love that he has for us. And the mercy that's just shown to us. As we see, Jesus is so full of compassion here. In both instances, with the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. And to Jairus. And to Jairus' wife. And to the maid. He simply is just so full of compassion for them. And they were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Jesus knew that if word got out that they would want to make him king, and so that they could set up an earthly kingdom, and Jesus knew what was in the heart of man, and he simply told them not to tell anyone what was done. This is what the Lord is calling us to. This is what the Lord wants of us, is to reach out to him in faith, in a full faith. We please the Lord well when we come before him in faith and believe in him. Hebrews chapter 11 has a verse that says, verse number 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We serve an omnipotent God, a God who can do all things. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God, and he wants us to trust in him. If we can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And so when we have this faith and we believe in him, we can please the Lord. We can please the Lord, and we would believe that God is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That we would diligently look to the Lord. That we would diligently recognize that all of our needs can be met in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are trusting in him. That we are looking to him. That he would supply our needs. Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, knew that there was none that could help him but Jesus Christ. And therefore he ran to Jesus and kneeled before him and begged him to come to his house. The woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, she spent all of her living on doctors and nothing, and she was nothing better. None can help us. The Lord can help us. We are to look to him, and he wants us to reach out to him in faith. In that full faith, a full assurance that only the Lord can provide, and we are trusting in none other, but we are trusting in him. And then when he answers our prayers, we glorify him as we are astonished at the great things that God has done. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
The Gospel of Mark speaks also of a parent who had a sick daughter. Mark 7, verse 25 says, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. She besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be fed, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." And she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter." These two accounts of parents, they were at the end of their rope. They had nowhere else to turn. As a parent, even a splinter hurts, just as if you have a splinter in your own finger when your child is hurting. So it hurt our God, so much so, to have to sacrifice his son on our behalf. But Jesus said when the woman touched the hem of his garment, that virtue left him. Do you know what that virtue was? That word virtue means power. And we just sang about it. The power of love. God's great love to heal. The length and the extent that he will go to heal. Mark 6, just as Jesus had fed the 5,000, they left the boats, him and his disciples, and they met many. And in verse 56, it says, and whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or countries, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. As many as touched him were made whole. You see, there were many that were sick, but they didn't want to touch the hem of their garment. So what is this lesson for us today? The lesson is the touch of faith. That garment is there. That Jesus Christ is there, ready and willing to heal. My friend, outside of Christ, don't wait till you get to the end of the rope. Who knows how long it is? And through that length of rope, how many trials and disappointments you will face. Come to Jesus out of a knowledge and out of a faith for him today. He is here. He is ready. And he is willing, if we but in faith, just reach out and touch him. May the Lord bless the word upon our hearts.